Well, you're walking through this one God-given life that God's given you. You're trying the best you can to do everything you can, but you still struggle with all sorts of worries and stresses and problems. Let me invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. In our series, as we continue on being free, you know, you may be here today and you don't want to admit it out loud. You're trying the best you can, but you still find your life in the bondage. You live scared, you live afraid, you live worried, and you really wonder about your life, you wonder about your job, you wonder about your career. In a world that is so volatile, so many things are happening in our world, and so many things are taking place, and you're really wondering, how secure is everything? Well, those questions have been asked for centuries. They've been asked from some of the greatest men all on the face of the earth. And God has given us a reminder in His Word that He doesn't want us to live a stressed life, a frustrated life, no matter what you face in life. You know, there are times in life that you find something you face and you never dreamed you'd be there. Something happens to your life rather quickly and you're wondering and you're sort of caught in a daze and you think, surely to goodness, this is not happening. Maybe it's a tragedy, it's a death, or some situation, and you just really cannot comprehend why you're in that situation, and you're stressed, you're frustrated. And I want you to listen to these precious words that Peter pens in Second Peter, because he's reminding the precious saints of God what they have, and he wants them to live a free life. It is the desire of your Heavenly Father, if you're saved by the grace of God, that you live a life of freedom. He don't want you to live in bondage, and yet sadly so many believers are living just that way this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I want you to go back and I want you to look in verse 3 very carefully, because Peter is reminding these precious saints of God and reminding you and me what you and I have all because of Jesus Christ. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has faith, or that hath called us to glory and virtue. One of the realities of why so many people are stressed and worried and frustrated in life is because they don't know the truth. They don't know the truth of what the Father has given to them, access to their life, and so they live scared, they live frantic, they live worried. In this message this morning, I want you to understand, and by the power of the Spirit of God, that you and I would understand what we have through Jesus Christ for life and for living. So I want you to follow along carefully, because you may find yourself this morning and saying, I just never knew that, or I was never taught that. It's amazing how often a person can be saved for years, know they're going to die and go to heaven, but they've never come to know the truth. And therefore, if you don't know the truth, you can't be set free, because Jesus Himself said, it's when you know the truth shall set you what? Free. So it's only when you and I come to know the truth. Are there a lot of Christians saved and worried and frustrated? Yes, there are, because they don't know the truth. In other words, it's not in their mind. It's still in the Bible, but they've not read the Word of God. They've not allowed the Word of God to absorb into their heart, and therefore they live in a panic. You might be one of them. You're living your life in a panic. You're living your life frustrated. You're living your life scared, because you look at the world and you think, I don't know about my job. I don't know about my life. I don't know about my career. Well, I want you to follow along because you need to understand these truths as they pertain to your life, as they pertain to each of our lives. First and foremost, the Bible makes it very clear, through Christ, you have everything that you will need for a godly life. Now, when it comes to living the Christian life, here's one thing that Peter said to these saints of God. You have been given everything pertaining to life. Now, think about this. Before you came into this world, did you have any idea of what you was going to need? You had no complete knowledge of everything you would need. And so Peter wrote to these precious saints. He said, I want you to understand that God does not want you to live frustrated, worried, anxiety-ridden, because He is our Heavenly Father. Now, we're children in the sight of God. You may be 60, 70, 80, 90. You could live to be 959 years old, 969 like Methuselah. And in the sight of the Father, you would still be a child. Now, what loving father does not obligate himself to his children? And what Peter is reminding you and me is this. If you're living anxiety-ridden, worry-ridden, then there's one thing you've not come to understand. You've not come to understand truth. Because the Bible says, God says, that he has provided everything. Now, think about it. Listen to that one word, everything. He has already deposited to your life's account everything you need for life and for living. So then, if he has deposited everything to your life and for living, what reason do you have in your life to live one anxious moment? Even if life catches you off guard, or even if tragedy happens, or even if crisis occurs, there is not one thing that the Father has not thought about. Now think about this a minute. Would you be honest enough to say, has the Father thought of everything in your life? And you see, when we worry and we get anxiety ridden and frustrated, we say, we don't say it out loud, we say, you know what, this might have slipped up on God. There is nothing that slips up on God. There is nothing that slips up on Him that He's not already thought about hundreds and thousands of years beforehand. And I love what Jesus said in Matthew 6:25. Listen to what He says. He says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. You listen to what he says, take no thought for your life. Now, he's not saying think a little bit, but I was reading this verse just the other day and I thought, do you realize what God is saying? You are not to take thought for your life. You say, now, Pastor, are you not to plan and things like that? Well, God gives you a good mind and you're to use your mind accordingly. But to live worrying and stressed and frustrated. And so many people are not free in their life because that's where they're living. They're living in a state of worry. They're living in a state of panic. They're living in a state of frustration. They're living in a state of anxiety. And not because God wants them to, but because they don't know the truth. And you know, when Peter was writing to these precious saints, you know, he wanted them to know the truth. And the Bible makes it very clear, according as his divine power has given us. Now, the word given is a real neat word in the Greek. And it really is a simple word, but it's so profound. In other words, it's already granted to your access. You already have granted to your access everything that you will need for life and living, for a godly life. It's already been deposited to your life's account. Name your name. And you say, Father, do you mean you've provided everything already in advance for what I'm going to need? Yes. Do you know what I'm going to need 5 years from now? Yes. Is it already deposited to my life's account? Yes. You see, when you start thinking about it on that vein, you think, well, why is it we worry? Because we're taught to worry. We're programmed to worry. The world worries. So we think, well, if you're a good person, you live your life worrying. Listen, Jesus said, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat and drink. And he says, are you not much better than the ravens of the air? God clothes them. Will he not much more take care of you? And you see, the Bible makes it very, very clear. And the truth about it is, many find themselves falling by the wayside because they don't know the truth. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm your pastor, and there's so much I can teach you, but here's one thing I cannot do for you. I cannot open the Bible for you. I cannot put it in your mind for you. If you do not put the Word of God in your life, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. May not happen today, may not happen tomorrow, may not happen five, but it will happen. Someday you will be emotionally, spiritually, psychologically bankrupt and you won't have anything to draw from. And that's exactly where so many people are. They're scared to death because they don't have the Word of God in their heart. Listen to what Jesus said. It's when you know the truth. How do you know your multiplication tables? You remember when you learned those things? I mean, the teacher would go over them and over them and over them and over them and over them. And you would get tested. If you didn't know them, you'd get tested again. And if you didn't know them the second time, if you was about the age I was, and well, some of you are, some of you aren't. Some of you say, thank goodness I'm not there, but you're coming. You're just a little ways behind. You'll catch up eventually. And but listen, you didn't learn your multiplication tables, and teacher said, that's all right. You don't need them, right? Wrong. All right, tomorrow you're going to have another test. Listen, God will not make you put the Word of God in your heart. But here's what happens when you do. You can face anything in life. There is nothing that you cannot face when you put the Word of God in your heart. Because whenever you put it in your heart, you live based on the truth. You don't live based on the economy. You don't live based on the society. You live based on the truth of the living Word of God. And God says, He has provided everything for us, for life and for living. Therefore, what in the world should I live scared, anxiety-ridden, frustrated? Why should I be in a panic anytime in life? You see, there's no reason. The more you get in the Word of God, the more you just understand. And I was just sitting meditating on verse 3 this morning, and I just reread it. And I just said, Father, thank you. You've given me everything pertaining to my life and to my living. You've given me. You've already granted it to my access. And you know what that means? You don't live frustrated. You don't live anxiety-ridden. And you see, the sad part about it is, if you don't put it in your heart, if you don't put the Word of God in your heart. And He wanted them to know 2,000 years ago. Listen, He said, I want you to know that everything has already been granted to your life. Look at it this way. You know, you were born into your home some number of years ago, maybe it's 10, 30, 50, 70, 80, I'll stop there. And they're proud to have you. And when you was 2 days old, you talked to your mom and dad and said, now here's what I need. No, you didn't. You just laid there. I like what one comedian said, sometimes children are false advertisements. You know, they do say one thing, but anyway, you're there and your parents are there and they know they're obligated to your life. They're obligated for the rest of your life. A good, godly parent, they're going to come to your rescue. They're going to provide for you. And that's what they knew when you was born into this world. When you was born into the family of God, if you're a Christian, here's what the Father already directed to your life's account. Everything you would need. Would you listen to that? The Father has already directed to your life's account everything you will need. Now, there's one or two things you can do with that statement. You can believe it. You can say, man, I wish that was true. And you can say, I just don't really believe that. There is something wonderful that happens when you take it. Father, I'm not going to beg you. You stop begging the Father. You say, Father, you've already deposited in my life's account, so I'm going to draw on that account. Here's what I need. I need a special portion of your grace in this time in my life, or I need some type of financial provision, or I need a special strength that I've never had before because you know what I'm going through, whatever it is. You see, Peter said, I want you to understand that this Jesus who died on the cross was resurrected the third day, has already provided to your life's account. And think about it a minute. You know, and that's what you and I have. He's already provided. But let me ask you a question. Do you short-circuit His blessings and His provisions? You say, well, you know, God's provided to my life's account my finances. Why is it I'm in a financial ditch? Because if you was being honest with God, are some of you in a financial ditch? In other words, your life's gone off the road. Well, let me ask you this question. Are you short-circuiting the blessings of God because of debt? In other words, you say, well, you have to live. I understand that, know that. But are you trusting debt or are you trusting God? Are you trusting what a credit card can get you? Or are you going to say, Father, you've already deposited my life's account. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to bank on you. I'm going to depend upon you. You see, when you short circuit the blessings of God, look at something that's happening in your life. Sometimes a person will short circuit the blessings of God because there is some particular sin in their life. One of the biggest sins is unbelief. Listen to me very, very carefully. The Bible says, you know, to come to God, to please God, you must believe in it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If I don't have confidence in Him, I don't have confidence in His Word. Now listen very carefully. Could it be you don't read the Word of God because you don't have confidence in the Father? Could it be you don't read the Word because you think it's suggestions, but it's not suggestions, it is the very Word of God, and you just struggle with it? Listen. Sometimes we short circuit is His blessings. And you see, God has already deposited your life's account, so you've got to ask yourself the question, do I believe it or not? Do I really believe that He has deposited to my life's account? And since He has, I need to ask this question. I need to be real honest with me. Lord, why am I really worrying? Why am I really anxious? Why am I really anxiety-ridden? And if you'll be honest with yourself, you might not like some of the answers, because I really don't believe He'll come through for me. Now listen to me very carefully. It's one thing to say you believe God will come through, but it's another thing altogether to believe that He'll come through for you at the time you need it. See, it's one thing to look at Abraham's faith. It's another thing to say, Lord, I'm yours as much as Abraham was, so I'm just going to trust you. I'm not going to worry about my life. I'm just going to live trusting you. And you know what He'll do. He'll do some neat things in your life that you can't even begin to imagine. Well, number two, through Christ we have forgiveness and acceptance. One of the struggles that so many individuals struggle with in their life is the issue of forgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. A lot of individuals really struggle in their life because they have somebody in their life they've not forgiven. There's somebody in their life that they really have been demeaned, demoralized, belittled. But let me ask you a question. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, we know He died for every one of our sins. He died for every single one. By the way, do you realize you're a sinner if you don't know Jesus Christ? If you're apart from Jesus Christ, and every one of us that are Christians, saved by the grace of God, there was a time in our life that the Spirit of God reminded us that we're sinners. As a matter of fact, those that are saved by the grace of God, we're saved from sin. I don't want to say we're saved sinners because the Bible never says that. You'll never find the Bible saying about you that you're a saved sinner. The Bible calls you a saint. That means a person that's been set aside out of a life of sin. But every one of us are sinners. Do you realize God doesn't want you to live feeling guilty? And the struggle with so many individuals is this. They live feeling guilty because maybe there's something they need to feel guilty about. But there are those individuals who's you've confessed your sin, you've asked God to forgive you, and you still live in that guilt. Somebody has done you wrong and you've forgiven them, but you still feel guilty. Listen to what Scripture says. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. There will never be a time in your life that you'll bow your head and the Father will not forgive you of your sin. There will never be a time in your life that you'll bow your head and the Father will say, I'm sorry, that's one too many, I won't forgive you. The Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So then, why do you live belittling yourself? Why do you live, you're struggling with unforgiveness? You're struggling with forgiving yourselves? And, you know, He didn't come to condemn you. So many people live a condemned life. They feel like they need to condemn themselves and they belittle themselves. You'd be amazed as I listen to people talk, well, I know I'm not worth anything. I know I'm not much. I know I'll never be able to do much in the Lord's church. And I listened to that, and in the back of my heart, I thought, if you really knew how the Father looks at you, You see, listen to what Paul says. And you got to decide, this is an arrogant statement, or he knew something about the Christian life. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Either that's the most arrogant statement, or he knew something about the Christian life. Listen, he tried to kill Christians. He tried to kill followers. What was there? He knew that his sins were forgiven. There was not a sin that he could commit, but the Father would forgive him. And that's not to endorse sin, but that is to maximize the forgiveness of God. You know what you hear a lot of times, dude? You hear a lot, well, I know God won't forgive me of that. Don't you dare say that about God. You hear some people say, well, I know God. You realize what you're saying about Almighty Jehovah? You realize what you're saying about the God of the universe who gave his son to die on the cross? There is no sin you can commit but what the Father has already forgiven it. Therefore, forgive yourself, go on with your life, accept God's forgiveness. But you know, one of the struggles we have is accepting that forgiveness, accepting what God has given to us. You see, when Peter realized that God had totally forgiven him, think about this. Peter knew firsthand what it was to deny Jesus face to face, and Jesus listened to him. I never knew him. And he looked over, and I'd love to wonder what Jesus might have looked. I'm sure his eyes were not looks of anger, but looks of love, like, Peter, I knew you was going to do that. You know that the Father already knows what you're going to do. He already knows what's going to happen in your life. And you see, the Bible says we have redemption. We've got forgiveness. Why do you beat yourself over the head since Jesus Christ has already forgiven you? Could you answer in your own heart and your mind right now, why do you beat yourself over the head when the sinless Son of God has already forgiven you and canceled your sin debt? The Bible says he has. You see, he died to forgive you of all of your sin. And the sad part about it is some believers live in such baggage and bondage because they just say, well, you just don't know what I've done in my life. Don't have to know. But what you don't know is what the Father's already forgiven you of. You see, Jesus is not going to die for your sins. Jesus has already died for your sins. He's already shed his life's blood at the cross because he knew what you was going to do. He knew how many times you was going to do it. He knew how often you would do it. But in the sacrifice of Christ, it was once for all. You find a person that's walking godly, and let me tell you what they won't do. A godly person does not live beating themselves up. You know what they do? They quickly claim, thank you, Father, for your precious Son, for his forgiveness of my sin. And I forgive myself what I just did or what I just said or what I just thought. And I release myself and I walk on. You say, it can't be that easy. It wasn't. It cost Jesus everything. But you see, here's what happens. We beat ourselves up. And we mope and we have pity parties. That's not the will of the Father. You won't find Paul living in a pity party or Peter living in a pity party. They were men just like you and me. They knew the forgiveness of God. So the issue is this. Are you going to continually live with the bondage and the baggage of unforgiveness, or are you going to trust the shed blood of Christ? You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. But what about your everyday life and your everyday living? You see, when you really understand what God has access and what you have access to, it's heaven on the way to heaven. You don't live in depression, discouragement, because think about it. He's already granted you everything, forgiveness, everything else. Number three, through Christ we have his precious promises. You know, one of the things you and I need to understand when it comes to our walk with God, we need to understand the promises he's given us. Sometimes we fail to claim his promises because we just don't believe. But Peter said in verse 4, and I want you to look carefully, whereby are given unto us, are given. In other words, you can say it like this. The Father's saying to you, dear, put your name in there. I give you this promise for the rest of your life and into eternity. You say the Father says that to me? Yes, he does. because that's literally what that means. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, what in the world is a promise? I love the dictionary. It's what it says about a promise. It's just so simple. It's so powerful. Literally means to forward or to send. Let me give you an example. If I picked out someone and said, you know what, I want to buy your lunch today. Or you said, I want to buy your lunch today. You know what you wouldn't do? You wouldn't worry about providing your lunch. You say, Pastor promised, or vice versa. You know what the Father says to you? I promise you. In other words, it's already sent forth. Everything you need for life and living, I've already sent it forth to your life's account. I've already sent it for whatever you will need in life and living. And when you're a young person, here's the wonderful thing about this. Now this gets exciting for a young person. If you're not married, I want you to listen. Do you realize that God has already provided for you a husband if you're a woman, a wife for you if you're a young man? He's already provided if that's what he wants for your life. I never will forget what I heard Andy Stanley say one time. He said that there were two fears in life that I had. First of all, that I'd never get married. And then second of all, I was afraid I'd marry an ugly woman. He said, I had those two fears in life and how God directed his life and directed his wife into his life. Now think about it. If God has already given you everything for life and living, is a spouse part of that? Yes. Will God weave and wind his way into your life to bring that person into your life? Yes. The Bible says God has given you everything. Therefore, why live anxiously? Enjoy the freedom that God's given you. You say, well, you know, I need to look and search for him. How do you know? But what? Listen, you don't have any idea where God has his spouse for you if you're single. But here's what you can tell. In his divine timing and in his divine providence, he'll bring them into your life if you'll simply trust him. Now, you say, well, he'll do it anyway. No, you can manipulate. There are some people that should have never been married to somebody else. They manipulated. They got this person. They liked them. They loved them. They thought. Because they loved the package. But they didn't realize what the contents were like. Let me ask you, if you're looking for a partner, do you want to marry the container or the contents? Every one of us, our containers change. They're continually changing. But you know what? There's something about the contents of a person. Peter says he's given you all these promises. You know what that means? He's given you everything you could ever need in life. Sometimes you'll say, well, I claim this promise, but it doesn't seem to happen. You're looking at through your eyes, correct? We look through our eyes. And the Bible says we see things through a glass darkly. In other words, you're not sitting where God's sitting, right? I'm not sitting where God's sitting. His wisdom is all-knowing. But he says, I've given you. And I look back at my life and times that I thought, Lord, you didn't come through. I can never recall a time in my life but what God came through somehow, some way, through some situation, ways I may never have even expected. You see, a promise is free for the taking. One of the things that Stephanie and I would do when she was just little, she'd want me to do something, and I'd maybe tease her a little bit. And so I finally would tell her, I said, Stephanie, I promise. And when she heard me say the word, I promise, she knew it was a done deal. Unless providentially hindered or something, listen. Do you believe it? You say, well, if God's going to do it, he's going to do it whether I believe it or not. No, he won't. No, he will not. You see, the Bible records in Matthew 13:58, Jesus walked through an entire city, and the Bible says he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. In other words, he walked through a city where people needed to be healed. Lives needed to be touched. Souls needed to be remedied. But he didn't do very much. It's not that he couldn't, but it's because they didn't believe him. You see, it's one thing to be saved, know you're going to heaven. But it's another thing to get into this precious book and say, Father, I'm not going to lie to you. My belief system is weak. I'm struggling because I'm not seeing a lot of people around me claim your promises. You know what will happen? He'll show you how to claim a promise. You hold on to it. He gives you a promise. You say, now, Lord, you said you'd provide. I didn't make you write the verse. You said you'd do it. And he provides. Think about it. For those of us that are saved, how much did you have to finagle to get saved? The Bible says, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Did you ask Jesus to save you and he said no? Mm-mm. You just said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And you know what happens? He changes you. What do you believe about him? What do you believe about his word? What do you believe about his freedom he has for you? Do you believe this verse of scripture that I read, that he's given you everything pertaining to life? You see, here's what you have to decide. Either I do believe it or I don't. And if you live worrying, don't try to explain it to God, because that's simply a cop-out. It simply means that you go back and revert back to that way of life because it's habit-forming, it's easy. But when you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you, I want to watch you come through. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here this morning, friend, and you're without Jesus Christ. You're lost. And lost means that if you died at this very second in this seat where you're sitting, you would spend eternity apart from Christ. God has you here for this service, for just this hour and this time, because he loves you. And he wants you to know that he has something far better for your life than you could ever figure out or you could ever provide for yourself. But if you want what he has for you, you have to accept the fact that you're a sinner. Every one of us that are saved, we had to come to that realization we're sinners. Sinners before a holy God. You're here this morning and you know you're a sinner. Suppose you die right where you're sitting. Where will you go? Suppose you die like a young man I heard of this past week, a brain aneurysm. Where would you go? Or something quick. Would you like to know where you're going? Would you like to know that you're going to heaven? The Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you be willing to pray this simple prayer right now? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to hell if I die. But Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart right now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus I pray. Heavenly Father, you know each and every life that's here, each and every heart. Lord, those that may be living worried and fret. And Father, we pray that, Lord, your Spirit would just remind us of the divine truth that you've shared this morning. And Father, you just speak afresh to our spirit your word of comfort where it's needed, and also your word of conviction. Father, there may be a person here who's so scared, but they're just living not believing the word of God. That person who just prayed this simple prayer, pray that you give them the boldness to step out for you. Father, guide in this invitation to come. It's our prayer. In Jesus we pray.